Now, the police have received a report, indeed, about a mail drop. They are investigating this particular mail drop in relation to parts of East Belfast, periphery of South Belfast. And it's a leaflet. It's more than a leaflet. It's a very glossy publication. Here's a little bit of what it says. By 2066, the British people will be a minority in the United Kingdom. Fact, exclamation mark. We, and then in capital letters, never voted for our own ethnic replacement. Our children's future will be a third world Islamic Britain if we do nothing. Is war. And it says war is coming. And there's a little bit of it missing off the leaflet there. I'll just go back to that in a moment. And this one says, our forefathers sacrificed at the Somme for God and Ulster, not for rampant multiculturalism and jihadists. Look at England, dozens killed in bomb, gun and knife attacks, yet nothing is done. Ulster must resist, no surrender. And then it goes on to list recent Islamic terror attacks. And it also says in the brochure that Sinn Féin and the Alliance are importing a new voter base from the third world to replace our people. The terrorism, grooming gangs and the rivers of blood prophesied by Enoch Powell could be soon flowing through the streets of, in capital letters, our Ulster, and shows pictures of Sinn Féin leaders with refugees welcome. And it also makes reference to Catholics and Protestants teaming together. It says, for centuries, Catholics and Protestants have fought over this land. Now we both face a common threat from fanatical Islamists. The soil holds the bones of our forefathers who fought and died for it. We will not surrender to its followers of Islam. Protestant and Catholics bled for this land, not Islamists. Therefore, this land belongs to us, not them. And it shows a group of people who seem basically like masked paramilitaries. And it says, we are a group of patriotic men from both communities who have come together to fight the far-left multicultural agenda of Sinn Féin, Labour and Alliance. Now more than ever, our people need to come together in defence of all our children's future. I want to speak to one of the local representatives who indirectly is referred to in that literature, Martin O'Mullier of Sinn Féin. Martin O'Mullier, good morning.
Good morning, Frank, and happy Easter. It's hard to know where to start with this sort of file message, but I was thinking there that just before Easter, I got some friends in the States were sending me Easter greetings, and they said happy Passover as well, because it's also the Jewish Passover. I'm thinking of our wish for, you know, much more diverse society. And we see this more diverse society in front of us every day. Frank, I was also going to mention Mohammed Salah, of course, who's one of the more prominent Muslims on our TV screens every week.
Who has many fans, but I'm not one of them. But yes, go ahead.
and we're every day, I meet people of big hearts, goodwill, trying to create a diverse, shared city. And then we have a small group of small-minded people. And, you know, I do believe this is a very small faction, maybe just one person for all we know, but a very small group. Of course, a very dangerous group, because this type of messaging, these type of leaflets can influence those who perhaps may be dim-witted enough to believe this type of siren call, and maybe take it upon themselves to denigrate or to attack our Muslim neighbours. So it's important, and you read it out there, it's a sort of a mishmash of fascist sound and Islamophobic statements, and then mixed in, probably I haven't seen this before, this is a little twist, mixed in for the first time, saying that Sinn Féin is trying to dilute our wonderful heritage and bloodline by bringing in people from other countries. So it's a dangerous mix of I suppose, sectarianism and racism, and the job for all of us is, even as we try and laugh it off, is to understand as well that, you know, I have been contacted by some of our friends from the Islamic Cultural Centre in Belfast, that as we might laugh it off, you know, it can't be taken seriously by some of these lunatics who publish this type of stuff. But it also is frightening for Muslims. And so it's important that all of us denounce it and make clear it does not represent 99.99% of the people of Belfast.
A little bit was missing off the leaflet, which I've now recovered, and it's basically Islamic State war is coming, and this is the question that these people are asking. They see people of the Muslim faith simply as extremists. They see anyone who would be worshipping in a mosque as a person who would be associated with Islamic State. It's almost beyond belief the arguments that some of them are making.
Yes, and it's not that long. I think it was in February we had Visit a Mosque Day, and I was over in the mosque in Wellington Park, and a very mixed group of people from all across the city. I saw some ladies there from the Shango Women's Centre. I saw some of the community groups from South Belfast, some of the school teachers in as well. And I suppose those, and this is being supported by Community Relations Council there, those who have a more level-headed view of where Belfast is going, where society is going, realise that all religions bring us great bounty and great benefits. They give great sustenance to those who are off faith. And at essence, all these great religions in our city are all about peace and love. And we shouldn't allow anyone to try and use the equally hateful messaging of the so-called Islamic State to try and whip up fears or try and pretend that somehow the barbarians are at the gate. If today, and I was out early this morning, one of the places that I obviously very busy early morning is Royal Victoria Hospital. Any of us who have either the pleasure or the ordeal of going to the hospital today, you can be sure that if we're seeing a specialist, if we're seeing the medical staff, we're going to be meeting lots of people from other countries, not least Muslims, because the great boon that diversity has brought to society is seen probably nowhere clearer than in our hospitals, where there are people from all around the world working, of course, for the benefit of our health. And that's the same in our Queen's University, and I was past Queen's this morning, early on, Queen's University faculty and their lectures again as a place where, and students indeed, big Islamic or Muslim populated community from Malaysia at Queen's, again is one of the most mixed places and one of the places where you'll find many, many Muslims. And it's no coincidence that when we bring in people from other countries and we roll out the red carpet, that they add immeasurably to our society. So we do need somehow or other, Frank, and it's not easy because we're not all in our basement turning out these hateful color glossy leaflets, trying to incite fear and trying to incite hatred towards minorities. But we, I think, in everything we do every day, have to counter that message and with a much more positive and open message. And in all of us, in political life, and sometimes we think, well, look, surely we don't need to say this again, but I think we do need to say it every time these people come up with their hateful messaging. We should respond with the reality and the facts and make clear that this type of society that we want to live in is one where everyone is treated the same and treated with respect.
Okay, Martin O'Mullier, thank you. I want to speak to Chris McGimsey from the Ulster Unionist Party, who's available to speak to us as well. Chris McGimsey, good morning.
Good morning.
I presume everyone is going to be coming on here this morning and condemning this leaflet. Would you expect us to get calls saying, oh yes, this is the sort of leaflet that I need to have delivered through my letterbox because I need to have a read of this because there could be some gospel in this?
No, it's not at all. And I would like to think that anybody who would come on the radio this morning would be condemning this. And I think the young Muslim lady who was on has been on the air earlier said she went when she spoke to the police, and the police went round various houses in the area and said, did you get a leaflet? And everybody replied, yeah, oh, why that? Yeah, we threw that in the bin. So, I mean, it's not going to get any purchase, I think, with the community in the Lower Ravenhill Road. And I think, obviously, it'll be condemned. Not just, it has to be seen publicly to be condemned by politicians and by others, church leaders and so on. But the real condemnation, which is important and which will come, I've no doubt, will come from the people of the Lower Ravenhill, who so easily just in the bin, get on with their daily lives and get along with their neighbours.
Now, it says for centuries Catholics and Protestants have fought over this land. Now we both face a common threat from fanatical Islamists. And it's almost calling on everyone in Northern Ireland to take a stand against people who would be from a Muslim background. And it's using that Catholics and Protestants coming together to do it. But it's pretty clear from the terminology used, the God and Ulster type terminology, that this wouldn't be far away from it wouldn't be far away from a loyalist mindset, the people who have written this, reading all of the script and reading everything that's emanating from it.
Well, I've read the whole leaflet. I've read the leaflet. I do know it does say for God and Ulster. I suppose they would assume that they would be assuming that that God is a Christian God, and therefore they're talking about Christianity in Ulster. You know, I don't think we should read too much into that. It's the whole leaflet's appalling, and putting for God and Ulster on a leaflet like that is appalling. But I mean,
it's anti Sinn Féin, it's anti Labour, it's anti the Alliance Party. It's highly unlikely it's coming from a Republican area within Northern Ireland.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. I mean, I think it's not, and it's being distributed in a loyalist area or in a unionist part of our city. But I mean, I don't think we should let this leaflet or some of the nonsense in this leaflet divide us. The last time we had a situation like this, and the police eventually, I think, made about four people amenable for justice to the courts. Sinn Féin representatives used it as an opportunity to attack East Belfast and the people of East Belfast. And I think we need to be careful about that as well. The community needs to unite and needs to unite in support of the Muslim community. Can I give you a couple of facts? Do you know that 1/3 of 1% of the population of Northern Ireland is Muslim? And if you average it out, it's about 280 people per constituency. 280 people, what is that, about 8 or 10 houses? So, I mean, there is no massive influx of Muslims. There are not thousands. We're not going to have ISIS in Belfast. We're not going to have a jihad, Christian versus Muslim here in Belfast. There aren't the Muslims. I mean, you'd have a hard job finding a Muslim to fight with. I mean, most people in Belfast have more chance of bumping into a leprechaun than to have a Muslim.
But are you suggesting that you might have some concern if we had 30% Muslims?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm making no comment on that at all. This is a welcoming society. East Belfast is a welcoming community. People come from all over the world into East Belfast, and they're welcomed. They work hard. They make a commitment to the community, and they fit into the community. And that's the sort of image of East Belfast that we need. And I think that's the image, certainly from talking, watching. Well, you're not the only person who talks to Muslims or has had contacts with the Muslim community. Muslims in East Belfast do not find antipathy and racism at every corner. For example, the local community centre close to where these were given out at Lagan Village have multicultural nights. They invite people from the different ethnic groups to come along and tell us their experiences, tell us what they're doing. Sometimes they share their food from their native lands, and that work has been done and is continuing to be done in that area and throughout East Belfast to try and help to communicate to newer arrivals that they're welcome and they're welcome. Come here, work hard, you know, and settle into the community. I mean, diversity is a strength. It's not a weakness. It's not a threat.
Okay, Chris McGimsey, thanks for your time. Thank you. Claire Hanna is with the SDLP. As I say, it won't be hard to find people this morning condemning literature like this, but how concerned should we be about it? They look like incredibly sinister people, those who are photographed within the actual pamphlet. They've blanked out their own faces, of course, but they look like paramilitaries.
Yeah. They do. They look sinister, and you know, it's horrible reading it. It's disturbing, but they're pathetic as well. They sound like fantasists and probably somebody who's never really done anything in their own life. But yes, I'm very concerned, but I'm really worried about the concern somebody would feel if they got that through their door and they were Muslim, or indeed if they were different in any way, because this area of South Belfast, by the way, that I lived in for many years, and there's people of all faiths and backgrounds and none, but clearly this group have, if it's the same people who were involved in some of the racist attacks at the latter end of last year, just have a complete intolerance of anything that's different to them. And I think that's a feature in Northern Irish politics, unfortunately, just failure to accept difference in any way, and this constant need to create strife and to create bogeymen to blame people's problems on. But, you know, in this area off Ravenhill Avenue, there were attacks last year on a Romanian family, on a black family, on a Swedish family. You know, I mean, this is just a complete, as I say, rejection of any sort of difference. And in all of those cases, those families were living here, were working here, were contributing here, and I would say probably contributing a lot more than the losers who produced this leaflet. But I really feel for those people, those many people in that area, because it is very diverse. South Belfast is very diverse, who the chill you would feel if that came through your door.
They suggest anyone in the media who challenges them is really suggesting that people who in any way question what's going on is a racist, that we make it very difficult for people, we in the media make it very difficult for people to challenge those who would have a particular interest in every word that's in the Quran, that we shouldn't be challenging them. That comes across in the leaflet as well.
Well, what do you mean about every challenging every word? But that's the thing. I think I would be more than happy in any of these cases to have a discussion with people based on fact, though, but there's a lot, and a lot of this came up around the time of the Brexit referendum, and I'm not explicitly linking the two, that people, you know, a perception about race and change, and that their voices were being smothered, and a lot of it just isn't based on fact, because a lot of the things around migration, you know, the reason people are feeling vulnerable in the labour market isn't because of people coming from other countries. It's about the degradation of good work. In a lot of cases, it's about the fact that jobs are changing, and the security of jobs are changing, and not in a good way. But these things aren't to do with race, and a lot of the times, and in the media, it's not that people can't have these debates in the media. I've had conversations with people who have given out wildly, wildly inflated figures about immigration that just don't match the reality. As far as I'm concerned, the immigration problem that we still have in Northern Ireland is that so many young people leave, and one of the reasons they leave is because of attitudes like this.
And finally, Claire Hannah, they seem to be pretty well funded, because that's as glossy a pamphlet as any political party would put through your letterbox. It's a very well presented publication.
Well, I'm not completely familiar with the ecosystem of these sad and fascist organisations, but if you look across the water, and I have seen some of the videos, and some of the people who, for example, were convicted of hate speech from Brit First, and I'm not saying there's a link here, but they are constantly fundraising. They're constantly fundraising. They spew their bile, and then they say, and donate a few quid to us. So now, I have to say, as somebody who does produce quite a lot of leaflets, and as you may know, you know, those things aren't funded by Stormont. We pay for those ourselves. You can get literature done quite cheaply and quite easily, and I don't think the production values are particularly high on this. But yes, it is worrying that somebody isn't just thinking these things, is organising and going out and promoting them. But just the content of it is so disingenuous, where it outlines a number of terror attacks that were pure evil, things like the murder of Lee Rigby it focuses on, and things like the bombing at Manchester Arena, and they were pure evil, and the people behind that do need to be isolated. But linking it and claiming that it's because of Islam, the shooting at YouTube yesterday was carried out by an animal rights activist. Is that what we're saying? We can't have annual animal rights activists in our neighbourhoods? You know, this previous school shooting in Florida, I think, was a white supremacist. Are we saying then that all white people are evil and we should worry if one of them moves in? You know, it's just, it's so irrational. And I have if people feel that they can't have an open conversation, then we do need to find space to do that. But if people want to have an open conversation about race and change in society, they do have to do it on the basis of fact and not on the basis of demonisation.
We have no evidence whatsoever that this was printed in Northern Ireland. I should emphasise that before I ask you the question. But would you have concerns if locally we were printing literature like that, or does every printing company have the right to print the actual message that's in that pamphlet?
Well, I think what should happen, certainly, and you're right, it's something I hadn't thought of because I'd only seen it this morning. It's clearly focused on Northern Ireland. It talks about, it talks about Ulster, and it talks about fighting at the Somme. And I find that particularly disgusting, actually, that is being invoked by nasty little fascists is invoking the memory of people who fought in that war and who fought for what they thought were very fair reasons. I would be worried. I mean, it's a bigger issue, and a lot of the time it probably printing companies are done online and anonymously, but it's good practice, and certainly during elections, all political parties, you have to have an imprint that says who is publishing a leaflet, and that's something that I do all year round, even if there's not an election, because it is good practice, and it does stop us getting into, anonymous hate leaflets or smear campaigns or anything like that. It should, I believe, be the case that you should have to carry the detail of who published the leaflet, i.e. who wrote the content, and indeed who did print it. And that, in during an election, is done so that you can track people's spending, which isn't the case here. But yes, if people are so happy to stand behind what they've said in this leaflet, they should be happy to put their contact details on there.
Okay, Claire Hannah, thank you. Speak to more of you in just a moment. The Alliance Party, among the parties criticised in this particular pamphlet that's aiming hatred towards the Muslim community. I'm going to speak to a representative of the party in just a second. Michael has a point he wants to make on the back of our conversation with our politicians so far this morning. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Frank. No, I just want to take up what Martin was saying there about the expect more immigrants coming in to fill up the places of employment. And I just think, well, why aren't we prioritising our own people, getting them trained up to fill those roles?
Yes, he did emphasise that there are a number of very skilled people from a variety of backgrounds who are working in Northern Ireland. There are also people who are unskilled who are working in Northern Ireland and playing a vital role in the economy as well. Well, there's ongoing training to get people skilled up locally. There's requirements that some people don't meet. And needless to say, there are people who aren't prepared to do some of the jobs that those from overseas are doing.
Well, I would say there's plenty of people also from overseas who come in here and live off the benefits, and also don't want to be bothered doing a day's work as well, Frank.
Do you see the people from overseas generally as a benefit to our society and economy, or a drain on our economy and society?
But see, that's a very binary argument, Frank. Immigration is a wonderful thing, but it should be added to our society as a means tested. Open door immigration is in the long run a bad thing, but it should be means tested. It's a bit like food, Frank. You and I both need food to live, but too much food can be detrimental to our health.
Yes, I understand the point you're making. You're not the first person, of course, to make the point that is very relevant one at the moment with Brexit and all of that. It has been made many times. But do you see the concern and the worry about the, how do we best describe this, the blanket attack on anyone who basically isn't Catholic or Protestant and white from Northern Ireland? If you're not, and I'm surprised with this pamphlet that they've even given the Catholics a bit of a bye ball on it, but they have said, Catholics and Protestants have to unite to take on these people from overseas, or we'll end up, I think they give an example of having 90 mosques. We'll have 90 mosques like they do in Bradford. We'll have blood flowing down the street. Do you believe that those people who produced and leafleted that pamphlet, that they've got to be challenged?
Well, I don't know, Frank. I haven't seen the pamphlet. I don't know too much about it. I'm only getting details of what you're saying here over the radio, but I think they've got a few fair points to raise with regards to immigration, but I would need to read the pamphlet myself.
Well, the pamphlet, I did read some of it out earlier on. I'm more than happy to share it with you. One of the main paragraphs is, by 2066, the British people will be a minority in the United Kingdom. Fact, we never voted for our own ethnic replacement. Our children's future will be a third world Islamic Britain if we do nothing. War is coming with Islamic State. That's one of the paragraphs. Would you agree or disagree with that one?
Well, I would say that the rhetoric is very extreme and very very worrisome, but at the same time, I would be worried about preserving our own people and culture. I mean, I, for one, live in a predominantly area which is mainly local people with a nice mix of there's a bit of multiculturalism, but I mean, I would not want to wake up one day to be the only local person on my street.
And do you think you might be? Are you genuinely concerned that you might be the only white man in town? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Frank, look back at a place like Birmingham 50 years ago. 50, 60 years ago, it was predominantly people from Birmingham there. And I go over to do a bit of business in the mainland quite a lot. And you look at places in Birmingham like Aston, Witton, Handsworth, Castlefield, Smethwick, Lascelles. The name goes on. Huge, huge, big estates. And they've been completely wiped out of local people. Like, so if it can happen there in 50 or 60 years, Frank, why not here?
And do you think we're disadvantaged? Is Britain disadvantaged because it has such a multicultural mix?
As I say, Frank, it should be means tested. It should not be open door. You know, we've got people like Claire Hannah, who's the supposed spokesperson for Brexit, and loves the EU so much just because the EU has a big socialist sticker slap on the side of it. But whenever Stephen Nolan asked her a while back to name one EU commissioner, she couldn't do it, Frank. So, you know, it wouldn't take too much of what Claire Hannah says.
Yeah, well, you know, setting someone a challenge as to name EU commissioners, it's hardly the first thing you think of when you get out of bed in the morning. What about our forefathers sacrificed at the Somme for God and Ulster? They sacrificed their lives not for rampant multiculturalism and jihadists. Look at England, dozens killed in bomb, gun and knife attacks, yet nothing is done. Ulster must resist, no surrender. What do you say to that paragraph?
As I say, Frank, that's very extreme language. I wouldn't use that language myself. I think that's very inflammatory and can be very concerning for the minorities here in Northern Ireland and maybe further afield. But, you know, I wouldn't agree with that type of rhetoric, but I would say there is concerns with regards to immigration that we should be talking about.
Sinn Féin is another paragraph. Sinn Féin and Alliance are importing a new voter base from the third world to replace our people. The terrorism grooming gangs and the rivers of blood prophesied by Enoch Powell could soon be flowing down our Ulster streets.
What?
Is that extreme, or is that something you worry about?
Let me take
the first half of it. Let's forget about the blood running down the streets, okay? Because that sounds really extreme. Let's take the first half of it. Sinn Féin and Alliance are importing a new voter base from the third world to replace our people. Do you have a genuine concern about that?
You're reading out this pamphlet to me, Frank. I think maybe if you guys maybe got actually in touch with the people who printed the pamphlet, if that was possible, and asked them. You're asking me about a pamphlet I know nothing about.
Well, there isn't much more in it. I've read you, I think there's about six paragraphs. I've read you four of them. So that's what's in the pamphlet. Most people this morning are looking at it and saying, this is hate-filled bile. And, you know, okay, you're saying it's a bit overstated, but you're not criticising what, you know, most sane people would be saying is incredible hatred.
There's issues to be raised. I'm saying there's issues to be raised there, Frank, but if you listen to the media, you know, if you criticise Islam, you know, then, you're a hate preacher, you're this, you're that, the other, but you turn on the news every night and it's anti-Russia hate propaganda from all the media outlets, and it's, you know, it's okay to criticise Russia and you hate about Russia and allegations about Russia, but you know, you criticize Islam and all of a sudden you're the worst person in the world. Like,
funny, that's almost one of the paragraphs. It says our politicians have sold us out again for a pocketful of silver, and the media call anyone who complains racist. It has been left to Ulster men of both traditions once again to defend our heritage, faith and culture. We will defend our forefathers' land. So the media are coming in, I suppose I'm included there as well, for criticism from the brochure publishers also.
Well, then, I'll tell you what, Frank, I challenge you. Why don't you do a full week in your show talking about immigration and let people phone in to have their say and their concerns and what they feel about immigration within Belfast, Northern Ireland, how things are changing here. Why don't you do that
and
hear people's genuine concerns? And you may even have somebody who put those people through the doors actually getting in contact with your show.
Yeah, my head's dizzy doing it. I don't expect you to hear the programme every morning, and I really do appreciate your input, but have we discussed immigration in this programme?
I listen to your show all the time, Frank. I think it's great.
Well, thank you. But, you know, we've had people from Britain First on this programme. We've had people who are not happy with having a black person in the street on this programme. And we've also had the voice of reason on this programme as well, if you don't mind me saying. But, Michael, I appreciate your input.
Well, can I just come back there, Frank?
Sure, yeah.
Can I come back?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Frank, we'll put it like this. I don't know I don't know how people are receiving me, but put it like this. I think we should have a debate about immigration in this country and have it outright, and I challenge you to do that in your show. But from my point of view, I mean, I have African-American cousins, I have Latino cousins in the States, I have family in Australia, all around the world, Canada, Scotland. So, I mean, you know, it's not a racist bone in me.
Yeah, it's a fair point. You know, it goes through to the argument that just because you would have been, not you personally, but anyone who would have been very outspoken in favour of Brexit, it doesn't make them a racist. I immigration in relation to Brexit does not make them a racist. I accept that. Michael,
I never said it was a favour. Oh, I did vote Leave, but I never said it was a... I never mentioned Brexit, mind you.
Sure, but this is how it has come up in the past. Michael, I appreciate your input. Thank you. Good morning to you. 90-333-105. Must apologise to Emmett, who is patiently waiting to speak to us at our invitation. Emmett McDonough-Brown of the Alliance Party. I'm going to have a conversation with him in just a moment. Emmett McDonough-Brown is a representative of the Alliance Party. Emmett, good morning. The Alliance Party are referred to in this pamphlet, bringing in people to vote for them from ethnic minorities.
Yeah, it almost kind of conjures up the image of us standing at airports and seaports, kind of welcoming people in who are going to be voting for us. I mean, the leaflet has the full range of kind of neo-Nazi tropes. Around kind of loss of identity, around kind of loss of status. And I think really the people who have put this leaflet out are trying to stoke fear in our communities, and they have to be tackled and rejected.
What's your message to a Muslim family who would be looking at the pamphlet, who may be listening to the radio programme, who would be living here in the city?
That if you choose to make Belfast home, then you're a citizen of equal standing in my eyes. I am proud that people choose to make Belfast home. I remember for far too long that people left this city and these islands in search of opportunity abroad. And I think as well of some of the people who work in our hospitals. My partner gave birth to our daughter recently, and the obstetrician was Islamic. And I think of the contribution that people like that are making to our society and the help that they're giving and the good work that they're doing. And I think that anybody who's sitting in a home who's received one of these leaflets from maybe a Muslim community should be aware that they have broad support across our political parties.
And I suppose the voice has to be even louder towards the member of the Muslim faith who may be sitting in Northern Ireland, not able to draw in a salary at this present moment in time, not able to make the contribution that the medical professional made recently in your life?
Well, I think certainly we are all equal in this society, Frank, and I want to be absolutely clear about that. I think whether you come from a minority group, don't forget we're increasingly a society of minorities in Northern Ireland. I think that it's important that our humanity is respected and that our equal status is upheld. And whether you are Christian, whether you are Muslim, Jewish, whether you have no religion at all, I think that you should be treated as an equal citizen in this society. And I think that racism is to be rejected. It seems that every generation has to fight racism and fascism, and this one's going to be no different.
The police are treating it as a hate incident. They will investigate it. I don't know what the police can really do with regards to bringing people to book for sowing such seeds of fear. But why do you think there is so much hatred? It's overt hatred from those who delivered the leaflet, but there's also a simmering, sometimes silent hatred that exists when you start to scratch the surface here.
Well, I think some of the Islamophobia that this leaflet contains has been heard just this week from parliamentarians and from assembly members of the DUP. So I think it's really important that all political parties unite against racism and against racists. And I think it is crucial that we redouble our efforts to reassert and reaffirm the equal status of every citizen in this society, whether they have arrived off a boat or off a plane or whether they were born here. I think they are equal, and I think that we should stand together in solidarity with each other and reject these fearmongers who have come up from the sewers to spout this sort of hatred.
Okay, Emma McDonough-Brien of the Alliance Party, thank you. Christopher Stalford is a representative of the DUP. He's available to speak to us. Christopher Stalford, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, just on the back of what Emma McDonough-Brien has said there, it's embarrassing for Ian Paisley, the timing of this, isn't it, considering his retweet recently?
Well, I mean, firstly, before we get into Ian Paisley, MP, I just want to say, like, I was reared in Carrington Street in the bottom of the Ravenhill Road. I know that community extremely well. I have an advice surgery there every month. I help people from that community from all different backgrounds. And I want to state very clearly and categorically, firstly, that I absolutely condemn the content of this leaflet. And secondly, that the people who distributed it or person who distributed it, because I suspect, truthfully, this is probably, this group is calling itself Generation Sparta. It's probably one or two sad individuals at home churning this filth out on their personal laptops. But I want to assure people that new people coming into that area or people listening to your program, this group is not reflective of the community that I know, the community that I was reared in. And the views expressed in that piece of literature are not reflective of the people who live there. I do think it's, frankly, disgraceful that a group that prides is claiming to sort of defend Britishness or what have you would use an image of a murdered British soldier, drummer Lee Rigby, to try and further their message. And Lee Rigby's family have made it very clear in the past that they do not wish their son's image to be used by far-right or neo-Nazi groups to try and further their agenda of hatred. So, you know, they claim to be defending all things British and they claim to be supporters of Britishness. They're not even prepared to respect the wishes of a dead soldier's family in terms of pursuit of their agenda. So I just think it's really important that we get across that these people are not defenders of British values. They're not defenders of a unionist community or any community. They're simply motivated by hatred.
So with all of that said, and Christopher Stalford, it's hard to argue with anything that you've said, with all of that that you have encompassed there, it is even more embarrassing for Ian Paisley, considering that he retweeted what is seen as an anti-Islam message. He has to be invited to the Islamic Centre in Belfast almost for an education with regards to a welcome on the mat for our Islamic friends and neighbours.
Well, I mean, I think he once it was pointed out to him, the content of the tweet, deleted it, that's my understanding, and has indicated that he's going to go and meet with people from the Islamic Centre. From my perspective, I'm speaking as an assembly member for South Belfast, but yes, granted, I'm a member of the DUP as well, and it's perfectly legitimate for you to ask me those questions, but as an assembly member for South Belfast, and as someone who was reared in Carrington Street, bottom of the Ravenhill Road.
Yes, I know that. You've told me that. You've told me that.
Yeah.
However, we've got one of the most highly profiled MPs who seems to have a problem with Islam, who seems to have a problem with Muslims, who seems to, at the very best, not fully understand them. I'm not suggesting that there's any hatred directed towards them, but he doesn't understand his neighbours. So if a highly profiled, much respected, hugely voted for MP doesn't know what to do, how on earth can we expect these Neanderthals who've provided this pamphlet to have a clue about the way to go forward?
Well, I mean, I want to be absolutely clear. As a unionist, someone's religion is totally irrelevant. You can be a Catholic unionist, a Protestant unionist, a Jewish unionist, a Muslim unionist. Unionism is about a belief in the United Kingdom, the four countries that make up the United Kingdom remaining together as one. So unionism by its nature is not exclusionary. And in terms of Ian Paisley, the tweet that he retweeted from Katie Hopkins, I understand, is that he said that once it was pointed out to him, the full content of that tweet, he immediately deleted it. I also understand from his public comments that he has, as a Member of Parliament, engaged with the Muslim community in his own constituency and beyond, and will continue to do so. And I think it's right that he deleted the tweet. I think it's right that he admitted the content of it was offensive and wrong. And that's why I think it's important that no one should be in any doubt that the people who distributed this literature are not defenders of Britishness. They are not defenders of British values.
Okay, but we still go back to the original point. He's not the first senior member of the DUP who's walked up the steps of the Islamic Centre. Peter Robinson had to do it as well when he talked about he wouldn't send them to do a message for him. There seems to be a lacking within the DUP when it comes to understanding our Muslim friends.
Well, there's no lacking on my part, and I'm very clear in what I'm saying. And as far as party going forward, as far as our position there stands, I think everyone inside the Democratic Unionist Party would agree with me that the people responsible for this literature and this filth that's being put through people's doors in the bottom of the Raven are not pro-British, they're not defenders of Britishness, they're not defenders of the Union, they're not defenders of Unionist values, and that the people who come to our city and our country should be afforded a welcome and should be treated as equal citizens of the United Kingdom. And that's a fundamental position that we take as a party.
We're out of time on it. We have other things that I want to touch on as well with you, but we are out of time. Thank you for your time, Christopher Stalford. Thank you. Coming up towards the news at 10 o'clock, this is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Your opinions are very welcome.